Мы будем дальше продолжать послание Иуда. И в этот раз мы уже дошли до стихи 17 и 19 стихи. So we're going to start reading through Jude, verses 17 through 19. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following after their own lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. 17 and 19, just three verses, not much. But these verses are a turning point in our little epistle, our little letter of Jude. To this point, he's been addressing false teachers. He's been addressing those who corrupt the church. He's been addressing those who pervert God's truth. Verse 4 says, for certain persons have crept in. Verse 8, these men. Verse 10, but these men. Verse 11, woe to them. Gloria im. These are. It was also about these men. O nich. Verse 16, these are, or eto. Then we get to our verse, verse 17. But you, beloved. It's a whole turning point. He's switching his mindset. He's now addressing something else. If Jude were to have two chapters, this is where the second chapter would probably be. But you, the second chapter. It turns from uncovering false teachers to us believers. And so he doesn't mention us here. Only in the beginning, verse 1, if you remember, in verse 2. And then all those verses in between characterizes false teachers that we may be aware, that we may see them when they are present. And then here in verse 17, no vui, and then verse 20, avui again. But you. And Jude, as the shepherd's heart that he has, he says, but you, beloved. What a beautiful verse for him to start this section. But you, beloved. Reminding us of verse 1, the very first verse, if you remember. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. Jude brings us back to him who has separated us from false teachers. He brings us back to him who has saved us. He is bringing us back to him who has redeemed us. If it wasn't for the Father who seen us, the Son who redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit who sealed us, we would be just like the false teachers, only speaking our own thoughts, only speaking our own ideas, and not upon God's word. I think Ephesians chapter 2 speaks very well of this. If you could open up to Ephesians chapter 2 for me. The first three verses says this. This is what we would have been apart from God's grace. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature were children of wrath, even as the rest. And notice what verse 14 says. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. But God has redeemed us. It doesn't say, notice, but we. But God. And so Jude says, but you, beloved, again calling us, trying to show us, again bring us back to verse 1, that we are loved by God, kept in Jesus Christ. And it is all His working that He has done it. But you, beloved, we are loved. Why? Why are we loved? Why did God love us? Is it because we were so good? Is it because we loved Him first? Is it because we are more obedient? No, because He loved us first. Again, if we open up Romans chapter 5, verse 6, this is what it says. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what separates us, is that Christ has died for those whom He redeemed. Verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, I say, what a beautiful verse. Beautiful way that Jude turns the coin. Jude turns the direction of his epistle, and he turns it with this way, but you, beloved, and bring us back to Him who has called us, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. He's shown us our foundation, where we have begun. But you, beloved, ought to remember. In the original language, the ought to is not there. Or other translation says must. In the Russian version, it says, but you, beloved, remember. But the idea of these verses is just that, that you must remember. It's not simply, but you, beloved, just remember these words. These words have power to them, but you must remember if you want that power. If you want to be used by God, the Word of God must be living in you richly. And so he's here underlining the importance of understanding the Bible. But you, beloved, you must remember what the apostles have said. False teachers have crept in, as we have read. They have crept in. They have destroyed the love feasts in verse 12. And before the first century was even over, 5 out of the 7 churches in Revelations haven't been faithful. Have fallen to apostasy. Ephesus forgot his first love. Pergamum fell into idolatry and sexual immorality. Thyatira, also in idolatry and sexual immorality. Sardis, he says, you are dead. And Laodicea, they made him so sick that they were lukewarm. They weren't neither cold nor hot. And so Jude says, remember the words that were spoken by the apostles. Falsehood has merged into the church, but we must remember that the apostles have said that would happen. And Jude tells us what we are to do in verse 20, but we're not going to get there yet. Remember the words of the apostles. The way it reads in the Revised Version, this is the next version after the King James Version, it says, how that they said to you. It almost is given the idea that the apostles have spoken to these people face to face. They have heard the apostles speak these words. They were present when the apostles spoke these words. They have heard these words from their own very lips, opposed to us reading these words. And the apostle Paul and Peter is supposedly to have been martyred by 64 AD approximately. And this letter was written about 67 AD to 100 AD, so it's very possible that they did hear the apostles actually speaking, that they actually heard these words from their very own lips. So what did the apostles say? What is he saying? Remember the words of the apostles. What did they say? Apostle Paul in Acts 20, 29 and 30, he speaks of wolves devouring you. Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2 says God's promises will not be trusted. They are mocking the second coming. John, 1 John, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, test the spirits. They were very aware of this creeping into the church at that time. The first century, that was already happening. Satan is not going to waste another second to corrupt and to break down Christ's bride. He tried to crush Satan. He couldn't do it. Now he's after his bride. So what's the significance in this? Why does Jude say with such seriousness, you must remember the words of the apostles? Jesus says, do not be deceived. Don't be deceived. He knew that deception would be prevalent. Deception would be powerful. Deception would be from the ends of the world. And yet Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:3 says, speaking of a time that has come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. That's why false teachers arise, because the people feed them. That's why there's a Joel Osteen. And the significance is in this. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Test yourselves. See if you are walking in the faith. Make your election sure. Examination. If you claim to be a Christian, you will examine yourself. Because claiming yourself a Christian will not save you. Claiming yourself to be a Christian, that will not save you. That will not get you anywhere, claiming to be a Christian. The only thing that it will get you is deception. If you simply rely upon your own claim that you are a Christian. But Jude says there will be mockers following after their own lusts. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 4 says this. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Mockers have always been, and they always will be. Why? Why won't they submit to God's word? Because they want to follow after their own lusts. And God's word stops them from that. God's word stops us from doing that. And here, the mockers mock God's law and turn his grace into licentiousness. Here Jude is saying that they mock God's law. Notice in verse 16, these are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. They are grumblers. What are they grumbling at? They are grumbling at God's law. They are grumbling at the things that he has set, the things he has placed. And they hate that. They grumble at that. And yet, he's saying, but you, beloved, remember the words of the apostles. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everyone who says, Lord, Lord, or there he is, or he's over there. But like the Bereans, who examine the scriptures because eternity is the future. Jonathan Edwards, he had eternity present every day. He had hell and heaven present every single day that he meditated upon. Because eternity is the future. And according to Christ's prophecy, many will be deceived to walk on the wide road. Many will be deceived to walk on the wide road. What does it say about the narrow road? There will be few. Is he talking to the people in the jail system or on the streets or the charlottes? No, he's talking about the people who are in the church. I had this one gentleman at my work who has a King James Bible, and he told me he hates it. I said, I don't blame you. I can't understand what I'm reading either. Thou shalt and so forth, and I can't understand it either. And so I promised I would give him a different Bible. And so I went to the store and got him a John MacArthur Study Bible. It was a ESV edition. And he asked me a question. Why'd you give it to me? Why are you wasting your money on me? And I read to him Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. I said, I want the word of God to dwell in you richly. Because if you have a Bible that you're not reading, it's not doing you no good. I want you to read the Bible. I want you to treasure God's word. And I want you to remember his word like a deep well, so you would fish up the riches of his words in time of distress. When temptation strikes, that you may not sin against God. These words are for us today too. Remember the words of the apostles. He's saying, remember the words. Remember God's word. Apostles' words is Christ's words. Christ's words are God's word. The whole Bible is inspired by God. He's saying, remember the whole book of the Bible. That is our strength. If you remember in Ephesians, that's our sword. How can we use it? How can we fight if we are walking out in the streets without a sword, without a weapon, and there's an army around us? Oh, Satan has an army. Believe that. So these words are for us today to remember. Their words, and to remember God's words. Remember what he has spoken in his word. Remember, you must remember. If you are a true child of God, you will remember, because you see the urgency in remembering of God's word. You see your strength in God's word. You see your weapons. You see your armor in God's word. When you walk through the valley in the shadow of death, God's word is what protects you. Of course, working through his spirit. And God's words are the only reliable truth that is not affected by sin. Adam and Eve lived in the time before the fall where everything spoke of the beautiful riches of God, the goodness and the greatness and the beauty of God in a way that creation cannot today. Creation cannot speak of God's beauty and God's magnificence as it does today. Everything spoke of God. But now after the fall, everything is corrupted by sin. Sin has corrupted everything. Nature still speaks as God is creator. Don't get me wrong. Nature still speaks that God is creator. We read that in Romans completely fine, that everyone knows that there is a God because of what he has created, but it does not speak in a way that it used to speak. We cannot attain salvation through nature, but only through his word. Does not faith come by hearing? And yet, the Bible is the only thing that we have, the reliable source that we have to understand who God is. And yet, mockers will always come, and false teachers will always appear to try to pervert that, to try to twist that, to try to break that. And yet, we seem to use it so lightly. We seem to care so little about God's word. People have always tried to mock God's word. People have always tried to break God's word, to prove it wrong. But it still stands. Mockers in the visible church aim to twist God's words to fit their own sinful desires. We see this perfectly well in the Mormons. In the Mormons who twist, I've spoken to quite a few of them, and it's just so interesting how they take such a plain verse and just twist it, put their own meaning into it. Why? So they could have sexual immorality, that they could have many wives. So they could fit their own sinful desires. But we must stay true to the text and crave the pure spiritual milk of the word. Treasure it in our hearts, as we read in Psalm 119, verse 11. Treasure it in our hearts like a well, that we may scoop up its priceless jewels whenever in a time of distress and not sin against our Lord. Do you treasure God's word? Do Do you delight in God's word? Do you remember the words of the apostles? Do you remember his words? Do not sway from the text of the Bible. I have another coworker that I have. He's a deacon at another church who he's partnered with Frederick Price, if you are familiar with who that is. But he said that his church, his pastor, tried a new thing. It was communion. And the pastor got up there and said, okay, we're going to do something new. I want you guys to imagine that you have the bread. We're not going to break the bread and all that stuff, but we're going to imagine that you have the bread and the wine. And so that's what we do anyways, right? We have the bread, we're imagining that it's Christ. And he says, I just want you to imagine. I want you to remember Christ in this. Is that right? To do something like that? I was pretty upset when he said that. Why? Because God, Christ, said, do this in remembrance of me. He does not say, meditate upon this or think upon this. He says, do this. It's an actual action that you do something. You take it and you break it and you share the redemption of Christ as brothers and sisters. And yet he said that we're just going to remember. Swaying from one truth of Scripture will sway to another truth of Scripture. And soon, you have a whole cult. And that's how they creep in. That's how they creep in a little bit at a time. And you won't even know that they're biting you. It's like a disease. When it gets too bad, that's when you die. You don't see the very first effects of it. So we have this shifting point. He says, beloved, remember. And he brings up mockers who twist God's words. And next Sunday, we'll cover up verse 19. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded and devoid of the Spirit. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.